This Sunday on Youth Speaks Out,
the hosts will be peer counselors from Laytonville and Willits High Schools.
Peer counselors receive training in listening, helping, and developing trust.
We then apply these skills in assisting other students with personal conflicts.
This will be a call-in show.
That's Youth Speaks Out, this Sunday at 3 o'clock. Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with a community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Kelsey, from Laytonville High School.
Rowan from Laytonville High School.
Raymond from Willits High School.
And Irene from Willits High School.
Today our topic is peer counseling, listening, helping, and developing trust. We all work as peer counselors at our high schools. On today's show, we want to explain what we do to prepare ourselves for our roles and how we serve other students in the high school and at the primary schools. While learning specific skills to help others, we also find that we understand ourselves much better.
At the beginning of the school year, we had a weekend training where we do exercises to open communication among ourselves. One of the most important skills we develop is how to listen to other people. We learn about reading body language, which is often a valuable key to understanding what someone else is telling us. We practice restating what someone has told us to make sure we get a clear picture of what we are being told. We check in on our own judgments so that we can listen with an open mind. At the weekend training for Laytonville peer counselors, we had workshops organized by the leader of our program, Jayma Shields. Jayma was one of the original hosts of Youth Speaks Out and project assistant for several years. At our retreat, we had guest presenters for specific trainings. Ron worked with trust issues. We practiced trusting each other in the group and how we can truly be a friend to someone in need of support. Leah gave a presentation on bullying and the importance of confidentiality in counseling. Corinne worked with us on gender identity. This included acceptance of others' sexual preferences, transgenderism, and the stereotypes of gender in our society. Dan presented various poems and philosophical ideas, then led us in writing poetry to help us access our deeper feelings.
After the weekend, we began to apply these skills to each other in peer counseling, and then gradually to other students at the primary and high school. We strive to be a refuge on campus, peers who will listen without judgment, peers who can be trusted to keep secrets, and peers who can understand what teachers and parents don't. Most of what we do is listen with open minds. Many students suffer because they feel that there is no one safe to speak to about personal conflicts. Just listening can change a person's world. Many students suffer because of stress at home and at school. A friend can keep them moving forward rather than turning to substances for relief. Some students suffer because they seriously need intervention to stop the abuse in their relationships or at home. If needed, we can guide them to adults they need for help. When conflicts arise at school, we can often help resolve the issues by listening to both sides and helping them communicate clearly to each other. Active listening is one of the many skills we develop by becoming peer counselors, and it helps us for the rest of our lives. In fact, all the techniques we learn to improve communication will be tools that we can use in all situations. We strive to be role models, listening, giving advice, but aware that we are not really able to change someone else. People must change themselves. What we can do is help others understand themselves, maybe offer tools, and encourage them to take the appropriate action.
We also work with primary school students who are referred to us by teachers. We are there to be their buddy. We hang out and help with homework and listen. We learn a lot about ourselves by doing this, as well as help the younger ones. Some would like to see these techniques taught to all freshmen. Ideally, this would be great, but freshmen are too self-conscious to engage in the role-playing and other activities. Also, the trust factor is crucial to the success of communication, and some freshmen will not keep things confidential. What we have learned about ourselves is the most valuable aspect to peer counseling. We have developed our communication skills, recognized our own judgments, learned to truly trust others, and found healthy ways to deal with stress. Learning how to help in a community, and how to set our goals and how to believe in oneself are long-range benefits as well.
While the peer counseling programs at Laytonville High School and Willits High School are similar, there are differences. So we have several Willits High School peer counselors here in the studio to compare notes with. What we want to do today is discuss peer counseling and why it is an important resource in our schools. When you or your children were in high school, was there a program like peer counseling? If not, would it have been a benefit to you? Did you suffer from stress in high school? Why do most youth entering high school need to learn how to communicate effectively? In your community, are there open-minded listeners, someone who can help resolve conflicts? How do you check in to make sure that your judgments aren't clouding with or what other people are saying? How have you learned to improve your communication skills?
We will talk about our experiences as peer counselors for about 30 minutes, then we will open the phone lines and encourage you to express your knowledge and opinions about communication. We are in the Willits studio, and our phone number is 456-9991. We'll mention the number again when we open the phone lines. Let's begin by talking about how we got involved in peer counseling. Raymond, what interested you in joining the program?
Well, first I heard of the program by, friends, and I was always interested in helping people and helping them mentally, because as being teenagers, it's very rough. And so I was open to the idea of peer counseling and willing to help other people. And also at my stage, I was very confused about myself and really didn't know, who I was and how I could deal with things. So I thought peer counseling would be a good solution towards that.
Peer counseling is a great choice if you want to learn how to improve your communication skills with others, or it could even give you the tools to talk to somebody yourself. With my group in the Laytonville area, we have all become pretty close, and I know that if I have something to deal with, I can talk to the leaders, Jama, Rolo, or Rachel, or I can talk to the other members in our group as well. And it's just a great place to be overall. We did some presentations in the middle school and elementary school, and we got positive feedback, so, something must be going right. Irene, what kind of things have you guys been doing around your school?
We do quite a bit around our school. Like, we've done some of the posters, the Take What You Need, where we have things like happiness and stuff listed, and you can just kind of tear off the strip of paper and take that happiness with you. We do presentations to the freshmen and incoming freshmen about safe sex and stuff like that, and how to deal with bullying, and proper ways to construct yourself in the classroom, and study skills and stuff. And we also do things like, we do a party scene where we do like a mock party, and we involve different situations that happen at actual parties or different stories that have happened to people we know. And we incorporate those, and it really just gives kind of the gist of the reality of what does happen at parties and how you can prevent that and really keep yourself safe in those situations.
That's awesome. The Laytonville peer counseling group has given, as Kelsey said, several presentations. A lot of them were to the middle school and elementary school students. There were presentations on bullying, mostly, as it seems like it's a very common problem in society.
Oh, yeah. Especially at our school, too. We have the same problem.
Yeah, it seems like it starts mostly in a little bit in elementary school, then really hits in middle school, and when you come to being a freshman in high school, you've grown up with people that are known as bullies, and you don't know exactly how to associate yourself or how to associate with others, especially in a brand new community. It can be difficult for a lot of people, and it's really good to have it out there that bullying is just another part of life, and that it can be overcome and dealt with, and not something that everyone should really break down about. It's something that can be dealt with in a good, healthy way rather than just accepting it as a bad thing in life.
Mm-hmm. We're just not even taking it into account at all. A lot of teachers and parents just disregard it as, oh, that's just what kids do. But in reality, it's become so much worse. Like, there's been quite a number of problems at Willits High that have caused some of the teachers to ask the peer counselors to come in and step in and sit down in the classrooms just to try and prevent it. And it's seems to be doing okay, so.
Acceptance really is the major problem here. And whether it's you accepting yourself or accepting others who are different than yourself, a lot of people seem to want to be the same. And that's obviously not going to happen.
I want to look just like Rowan when I get older.
Yeah, that should be what everyone aspires toward. Just look just like me. That's what Raymond and Kelsey and Irene and everyone's going to do. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, no.
That's completely logical.
Yeah.
And back to that, I also want to address how, yeah, how society's just built on itself. Once you get into school, you are expected to follow down, river streams of society in which different ways. And then, obviously, you have no idea, and you're trying to find out for yourself, what could you do in life? And bullies are just, they close down certain things, and they open to different things. And if we're there to show people, even show the bullies, that there's, beneficial to either bad or good, it just helps them to accept themselves. And that's a big part of peer counseling, is accepting oneself.
Yeah, that's definitely what I've noticed as well with the Laytonville peer counseling group, is that one of the biggest things that many people seem to have problems with is acceptance. It's a major part of life as a whole. You leave high school, you leave middle school, you leave wherever, and you're going to have problems with someone not accepting someone, or just people not accepting others for who they are. It's definitely something that's really become a pretty big problem in society as a whole.
Mm-hmm. And not just society as a whole, I find it in myself a lot, just really working hard to accept everyone as they are. And peer counseling's really helped that, because, well, I'm learning about how to help others with all these different qualities, like how to put yourself in someone else's shoes. I'm doing it on my own, and it really helps me branch out as a person.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up joining peer counseling because I heard about it from a couple friends, and they all said that it was really fun. The friends that told me about it are mostly graduated now, but, I feel that they had it impact their lives really positively, and it's really impacted my life in a great way, so I'm glad that I joined the program, and I'm really glad that it's available to high school students.
Mm-hmm. Same here. It was mostly recommended to me from friends. And most of my friends, in fact, basically all of my friends are in peer counseling with me or have graduated, and it's been a really good impact on everyone that's involved in it.
We don't have it available to the freshmen at our school. Do you guys have it available to you guys as freshmen?
Nope. We have it as a sophomore, junior, and senior class. And I think that's kind of a good thing because it gives the freshmen a year to kind of just let themselves ease into high school. And then as sophomores, they can help the freshmen in the same experience and stuff.
I definitely wish I'd had someone to help me out into high school like that. I know that my freshman year and even my sophomore year weren't all that super amazing. I had a lot of problems and stuff, and it was a bit of a pain, but I feel that joining the peer counseling group, even as a junior when I did last year, it helped me out with my junior and senior year. It's helping me out with my life every day. It's an amazing possibility, and it's great that I joined.
With peer counseling, you never really know what to expect. When I've done the program, this is my third year now, and when I first did it, I had a buddy who didn't exactly like me at the end, and it helps you figure out how to deal with conflict as well as resolving issues and listening to other people, and it ended up working out fine, and the girl doesn't seem to dislike me now, so something went right. And then the year after, the next girl I had as a buddy, she didn't particularly catch on to me right away, but she said that she loved it and that she looked forward to seeing me at the end picnic thing, which was kind of a surprise, but I was definitely glad to hear of that. She really enjoyed seeing me every week.
What do you mean by buddy?
We usually have somebody who's assigned to us, who are counselor people, Jema, Rolo, Rachel, who they think that we'll work well with, who teachers or their parents have referred them. And we go over to the middle school once a week, at least, and see our buddies, and we'll walk around, talk to them about what's bothering them, what's going on in their lives. Just be there to be a friend for them, not exactly to be a counselor.
Mm.
And I know that Rowan really got along with his buddy pretty well.
Yeah, I saw him every week, and it was great. We started out as just hardly talking, you know. It was something that I did because, you know, it's my role. And I sort of didn't really look forward to it all that much. It was just another responsibility. But after meeting with him a couple weeks, he opened up to me and I opened up to him, and we get along perfectly, and it's great. He's another friend to me, even if he is someone in a much younger grade that I wouldn't have had any association with otherwise.
And yeah. I think that would be like, because Wilt High School does not have specific, you know, assigned people that we would hang out with, but, you know, I always make it as a goal just to help people that, because I was always the awkward person, you know, that eat alone at lunch or something, and I always strive to help them. And so I'd always see someone sitting down or alone or just maybe in their own thought, and I always make it my job just to help out and be a friend. And they'd always be like, what? And, you know, after you hang out with them after a while, I just love it because you experience so many things and you never knew that person so much when you actually talk to them. They're fantastic people. I believe everyone has fantastic aspects that create them, and you just have to be willing to, you know, come down and sit by the table by them and just say hi.
And not just that, that's something that I find even in just our peer counseling group. Most of the kids that are in our class are people that I would never have even thought about talking to in a million years at our high school. And then I sit down in the class with them and I start realizing that they're a really good group of kids. And just getting to know these people that I would have never have even mentioned or said one word to in all 4 years, and just sitting down and having a conversation with them, I feel like peer counseling is a really good way for people to really get to know each other from different groups.
I found it really interesting that when we were doing our icebreakers with Ron at our retreat, that that everybody was talking about how they were that awkward kid at some point, that they wished that they had somebody who was really close to them or friends to them. And it was literally every single person. We were going around telling our stories, and everybody seemed to come from about the same place, but were ending up in different areas, and we were all became peer counselors because, like Raymond said, they were kind of awkward and shy, but now they're there for other people.
Yeah, and I just love the idea of that. Like, I don't know, I just find it such creating and just fantastic, because even yesterday I just met someone new and I just started talking to them and we related so much. I was like, wow. And just in being in peer counseling, I found out that I relate to a lot more people than I think I ever would. And I just love it, because then I can actually talk about, you know, feelings that I have that I might not be able to, you know, look at a different way or, you know, solve myself, but other people can help me out and they refer their opinions, and then I'm able to look back on it and be like, oh yeah, you're right, you know. And it's really constructive that way, and it really helps me.
Yeah, I know that just being a peer counselor, going through the retreats and stuff in the past and having all the training has really made me feel a lot better about my life as it is. I feel that I am a stronger individual and that I have more power to talk to people. It opened me up to other people and really opened my mind to saying what needed to be said and standing up for those that need to be stood up for, or even just sitting down next to someone, as Raymond was saying, and being a friend. Just being a peer counselor gave me a lot of courage to do things like that.
Mm-hmm. And not just, like, for me. I feel like it affects the people around me, too, because I'm able to help others in ways that I couldn't necessarily do before.
We went over the circle of bullying. That's something that we go over almost every year. And it's like there's the bystanders, there's the people who are actually doing it, and everything else. And it's not always just the bully who you have to watch out for. It's giving other people a voice to stand up. And that's another big point that the peer counselors are trying to get across. Don't let somebody push somebody else down and be rude to them. Encourage them to have the voice and the power to stand up. And I think that Rowan and Raymond were both saying that now they have more of a voice to stand up against those things.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. And you know, I definitely try helping people all the time. And Because everyone has the courage. They just need to find it and, you know, respect. A lot of it is respecting yourself, you know. People go out and do, you know, stupid things that they're not very conscious about because they don't have a self-respect. They don't really encourage themselves to do great. But if, you know, if you're being pushed down, you're being bullied, you know, you can pick them up and say, you're strong enough to, you know, stand up next time and just, you know, try to solve this problem and give them the tools besides trying to, you know, let, you know, do it for them. Because as I, you know, someone talked to me and told me, encourage me to do it besides telling me what to do. I learned for myself certain things and then I developed those strengths. And I believe it's so wonderful just to encourage people to do right, but then, you know, just lay it down and tell them how to do it.
Yeah, I know that it's sort of like the old saying, give a man a fish and he's fed for a day, teach a man to fish and he's fed for the rest of his life. It's really giving those skills to people and allowing them to develop them that really helps out, rather than just saying, okay, here's how you fix it this one time. You show how to help and how to really develop your life and, you know, fix things, and it's really great.
Yeah, and Kelsey, you mentioned earlier about how you guys have a weekend retreat. What's that like?
Well, pretty much, we went to Philo. We did the year before as well. And we have people come in and present to us, teach us different communication skills and about different kinds of people. So we're not so judgmental, or we're not going in with a little bit of maybe stereotype or resentment to anybody in particular. And it's overall just a good team building exercise in a way to enhance our own abilities. What was your guys' like?
We go off for 3 days and 2 nights to Emmendal, which is by the river Oberhurst. And it's a really cool experience where we go and we sort of open up with a bunch of icebreakers, and then we give back to Emmendal each day by doing something called Energy Gift. And it's where we go around and we do a bunch of farm work to help pay for some of our expenses there. And then we go and we do a lot of activities, and we are presented to about how to help others and really get down into who we are as people and look into ourselves to figure out how to help others in the same way. And do you have anything to add on to that?
I just wanted to comment that it's an actually absolutely beautiful place. I just love the scenery. I love nature, how it was, and it was very nature-oriented. And also, on more of a philosophical view, there, you know, I did not know how much emotion I kept in as a kid, and, like, you know, everyone has certain bad experiences. But when I actually went to Emmendal, it was very focused on, you know, going deep inside you and, you know, finding things. And I, like, found certain things, and I said certain things I haven't said to anyone in 16 years, and, like, however long. And I was just like, wow. And it was a completely revelation for me. And I just feel like, I felt like a complete new person leaving that place, because I was able to look into myself and actually tell someone about something I would never thought I would say it in the world. And it was a big weight off my shoulders to say.
Yeah, we do quite a few trust building activities with the group, and then we branch off in the evenings into small groups where we share different aspects of ourselves and our lives with each other. And a lot of the times it's like anonymous sharing, or we do something called Feelings in the Round, where we have like a sort of like a color wheel of feelings, and we kind of just, someone brings up a feeling and we talk about that. We share stories that go along with that. Like, if someone brings up the word anger, then we think about what makes us angry, and we don't necessarily share it. But what are the feelings behind anger? Because anger is such like a blanket statement, I'm angry. But what's beneath that? Are you insecure? Are you uncomfortable? Like, we really go deep, I guess, at Emmendal. And it's a really cool retreat.
Yeah, the retreat at Philo that the Laytonville group did, it had a lot of trust-building exercises and a lot of exercises that really opened people up. One of my favorite things there was that the man Ron, he taught us that while it's great to try to help someone with their life, another really important thing is being there as an active listener, to say, okay, yes, I understand that you're having a bad time, and really, truly listen to what they're saying,
mm-hmm.
rather than just, oh, what? Something's bad? Well, here's what you should do to fix it. He taught us a lot about how, yes, it is good to help people solve their problems, but there are some times that all that someone really needs is just someone to listen to. And it's really important to figure out how to differentiate between the times that they need you to help and the times that they really just would like to just sit down and talk to someone.
Yeah, we're very strongly encouraged to not necessarily offer our advice unless someone bluntly says, what's your honest opinion of something? Because a lot of the times people don't really want to have your advice. They just need someone to talk to.
Exactly.
I know at times when I've described a difficult time I was having or just a bad day, and I just was going off, oh, yeah, so-and-so made me mad because of this, and then all of this other stuff. And then the person says, well, why would you get mad at them? They sounded like they were being perfectly reasonable. And that just makes you so mad that you just shut off, and you're like, okay, now I'm mad at you too. I'm done here.
That's not helping.
I find that almost on a daily.
Mm-hmm. And also another problem that I see, you know, worldview just in life as it is problem of communication, you know? You just, you know, several problems have arised from not communicating. And so, if you're able to communicate with someone about something, if someone's two people having a conflict, and then you sit them down, and they say each story, even just the act of doing that is, you know, as a solution as itself. And so, I believe that communicating would solve a lot of it, because you see, you know, stories about on the news and stuff like that, and so-and-so did this because of this, and they did not communicate whatsoever about the issue. And so the act of communicating is a very huge problem. And so as peer counselors, I always find that, you know, something I need to work on personally is to be able to communicate with everything, and
yeah.
It helps a lot.
And Ray just demonstrated something that's, like, engraved into us, especially at Emmendale, is I statements. We're taught a lot about communication, and one of those things is owning what you say. And instead of, like, when you give examples, or when I give examples,
oh, yeah.
as I just messed up on, it's easy to just use you instead of me,
mm-hmm.
whereas instead of saying, we like ice cream, I like ice cream, because that's my opinion. I don't know if Kelsey likes ice cream or not. I can't just make a blanket statement for everyone. It's really something that only I like.
That's something that, well, I guess we learned a lot at the Philo Retreat as well, is that it's really your own personal opinion, and it's you that's saying what you're saying. It's not that you're being told to say something by someone else. It's that it's how you feel. And you're supposed to talk about your feelings versus, oh, well, we as a group feel this way. And while it is good to have someone that could speak for a group, it's also very good to have the individuals of any group be willing and know how to speak their opinions and voice their views on things.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And being a first year at this, I loved the topic of I statements, because it's just the idea of you're owning your emotions. And once you look at it, you know, step back and look at the perspective, it's, you know, you like, you know, what if you did this? Or you could just say, you know, I feel like that maybe you should try something like this. And it's just so different, you know, just
yeah.
I and you is
yeah.
a huge difference. And I was just kind of dumbfounded, and I kept messing up when I was saying, I was like, oh yeah, you, and they're like, no, say I. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it was,
and
I just love it.
Definitely goes into everyday instances. Like, if I'm mad at someone, instead of saying, you're being a mean person to me right now, I could say, I feel like you're not exactly treating me right now because you're ignoring what I'm saying, and I really want you to listen. And it puts a completely different perspective. Instead of me putting all the blame on them, well, I'm still kind of blaming them, I guess, it makes it a little bit softer sounding.
Rowan, I know that you did, this was your second training this year. Do you think that you learned more, or did you?
I think that the first year I really learned the most, because, you know, it was my first experience. I didn't know anything, really, and I learned a ton. And the second year really the training really cemented in everything with me. It made me feel that, yes, I am a peer counselor, and it made me feel like more. It made me feel that I'm coming back again to keep helping, to keep doing my best to help people. It went from being, okay, this is my first year as a peer counselor, I'm doing cool stuff, to being, okay, this is my second year, I'm a returning peer counselor, I have some past experiences, I can help out with the training even, and I can help people out regardless pretty much of situation. It really made me feel a lot more powerful and a lot more confident in my own skills.
Yeah, I was a returning counselor to our retreat as well. I'm a second year. And it was really, at first when I realized that I was going to be going for the second time, it was hard for me because I knew that my first experience would always take first place in, like, the whole goal of the experience. But then I realized that I just needed to go in with an open mind, and I got so much more out of it going in with an open mind than I would have if I had been, oh, well, it's supposed to be like this, and this is how it was my first year, and why isn't it doing this again? But I found that instead of getting the same thing out of it as I did my first year, I got new stuff out of it, and I really opened up a lot more.
It's like reading a book a second time. You will get the gist of it all the first time, but if you go back, then you'll see more in depth. You'll get more out of it the second time than you might the first, and I think that's a pretty similar experience.
Mm-hmm.
And also, getting back on your book, you know, I'm very eager to have a second year of peer counseling, but, you know, like you said, you read it a first time, and I believe, you know, you see it from one perspective. But once you read it a second time, you can also step back and look at it from a different perspective. And just that act in itself is very enlightening, and, you know, you get all sides or more sides than you did of a situation. And so just going back a second year as peer counseling, you look at it from a different perspective and can help different ways.
Yeah. I know that at my second year, it's been a lot different than my first already. My first year, I really didn't know what to expect from peer counseling. And my second year, I feel that I understand it a lot more, and that I'm much more suited after that first year of training and helping people out and talking to people, that I'm much more productive my second year rather than as I did my first year, just wasting a lot of time. I can put that time to good use and really do things rather than doing nothing.
Looking back at the retreat itself, we had a couple of different presenters. One of them that really stuck out, though, that I found entertaining and informative was Corinne's. I think that you guys had her speak, too.
My first year, I don't think Raymond got to experience that.
Yeah, but she went over gender identity and calling people what they prefer to be called. Like, if somebody was born a male, but they wanted to be referred to as a female, to respect that and give them that privilege of saying, okay, I'm not going to judge but about whatever you're coming from or whatever you're doing now. I will respect you in giving you the prefix, or I think that's what it's called, of what you want to be called. And I just thought that that one gave me new information as a person, because we've never really had a presentation about that kind of thing the whole time that I've been in high school.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I hadn't ever had an experience like that. It was a completely new presentation with completely new information, and it's something that is really useful. It helped me to say that, okay, well, it's this person's preference to be what they want to be in their life, and it's up to me to help them and to, you know, not hold them back by saying what I want them to be. It's something that I'd never really thought of before as really being super important, but after talking to Corinne and having the whole presentation, I realized that it's really pretty big, and that I really feel that more people should hear about that type of thing, and that it shouldn't be just presented to the peer counselors.
Absolutely. And sorry if I... but actually, even though I didn't get the presentation, I took a summer class on the psychology of gender. And just the word gender is not... the word gender and sex are two separate things. You know, your sex is what you are biologically, but your gender is the preference you want to be identified as. And just that whole word, you know, my gender is male, female, other, and it's just, it was such a great impact, and I learned, like you said, so much. And I believe that gender is an open thing. If I wanted to be anything in life, as long as it, you know, I always think, as long as it makes you happy, you go and do it. And so if you had the desire to dress up like a woman if you were a male, then I suggest you, you know, get the coolest skirt in town, you know? I was just like...
yeah.
But it's a great thing just to, you know, have your own preference. And it's your identity. And you are your identity. And you should not be felicified by society. And you should not be forced to be someone that you're not, you know? And so gender is a huge part in that. I believed if everyone accepted their own gender and were free about it and didn't feel pressured by society, it would be a much more colorful and open society all in itself, just by gender.
Yeah, one of our goals this year as a peer counseling group is we're going to put on Day of Silence at our school in Willits, and just hopefully just bring about a huge awareness for that sort of thing, because it's definitely had a really big impact on our society, and it's become more and more relevant to really address that as an issue.
What is Day of Silence?
It is when you sort of, you don't really talk, I guess, because there are so many people that feel that they can't discuss their gender issues or their bullying because of gender issues and stuff due to other people and stuff.
And it's cool. So it's sort of like a silence and support for other people being silent?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
One of the things that I took away from it was I know that myself and Rowan have a friend in Willits who's transgender, and before that I didn't really exactly know what to call her. If I should just say that, okay, she used to be a man, so I should call her a man, or whatever else is going on. But now I know that obviously she wants to be called a female, and so that's something that I've taken away from that certain presentation.
And actually, you know, if we look back on the whole gender identity, you know, 30 to 50 years ago, society was much more strict, and you could not say if you were gay or if you felt like dressing up, you were shunned on society. And so we've actually been gradually opening up to the idea of being who we are. And so I believe we're going in the right direction. And we just need to keep influencing and keep encouraging that, you know, being open is the best thing you can have. And so I believe we're going definitely in the right direction with the gender.
Yeah, I agree entirely. The Earth and, you know, the societies have really opened up a lot to people having different views on themselves. And that's a really great step in the right direction. I just personally hope that people stop, you know, bashing on people for saying what they want to say. And a lot of the homophobia that is really common, I really hope that someday in the future that that's abolished and people realize that, sure, someone might desire to be with someone of the same gender, but that doesn't make them a bad person for it. That's their preference, and everyone should be allowed to make their own choices in life.
That's one thing that we talked about presenting to our high school in one of our last meetings was the subject of homophobia, and because it's such a big thing at our high school in Laytonville, so many people discriminate against certain people because they think that, oh, that person's gay, we shouldn't go around them, let's make fun of them, let's isolate them, let's do all this other stuff. And you can tell that it really hurts the people, and it really affects the people who are gay or lesbian or bisexual, and just trying to change that. I mean, it's not going to happen overnight by no means, but as long as we can put the idea out there that it's not wrong, maybe it will get better in the future.
Absolutely. And I just, you know, this popped in my head, but I remember watching TED Talks, and if you guys are familiar, I love TED Talks. They're just so informational, and I definitely encourage it.
Like YouTube for smart people.
But, you know, 67 years ago, gay was considered a disease. And now our president's, you know, saying that gay, you know, being gay and gay marriage is legal. And so just that huge step. But high school is just, you know, I believe the birthing place of, you know, homophobia, but it's also environmental. You know, being raised around parents that shun you saying, oh, that's a sissy color, or, you know, saying stuff like that just builds you up into having this idea that it's not okay. But, you know, if you were more open and just teaching people, you know, just having the environment around you more open and saying, you know, it's fine to be who you are. And just having that environment, especially in growing up as a kid, that's a critical stage. If, you know, you are dependent on your parents and peers and leaders. And if you were told, you know, that this color is meant for you and this thing's meant for you, for being a boy or a girl, then you're just going to live up like that and have constricted rules to that. And then you're just, if you do not understand the idea of being gay or being bisexual, then you will fear it. And the first thing that comes associated with fear is anger. And so there's a lot of hate towards the idea.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of high schoolers, not entirely freshmen, but high schoolers as a whole, come into high school with a particular animosity toward the whole idea of homosexuality. I know at least one or two people that are constantly throwing around the insult that someone's gay or something's gay. And it's really offensive. And no matter how many times they've been told that it's offensive, a lot of people say, yeah, I understand that it's offensive, but this is what I'm going to do. And they're not really considering how it makes other people feel.
I saw a commercial where they were trying to sort of abolish homosexuality, and instead of saying, that's gay, they replaced it with somebody's name, and to just kind of throw away the idea, oh, that's so Rowan, that's so Raymond, that's so Irene, what are you doing? And then it just kind of made the people who didn't know what was going on just stop and be like, what are you talking about? Why are you being mean to me?
Wow, that sounds like it has a huge impact.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was a different way to go about things. And I think maybe if we even did something like that at our school, if we heard somebody in particular throwing that phrase out a lot, then just go around and say that in front of them and then say,
yeah,
okay,
see how they feel about that.
This is what you're doing to other people. Do you like it?
Okay, so we're going to open the phone lines now. The number is 456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth, their parents, and concerned friends in the listening audience. Please call in if you have questions or insights about peer counseling, resolving conflict, or improving the communication among high school students.
Were there ideas or feelings that you had in high school that you couldn't tell anyone? Or was there anyone at your school that you could trust and listen openly and keep things confidential?
Could you be totally honest with your parents or teachers? Did you know where to go if you needed help with unhealthy relationships or substance abuse?
Were you someone people could speak to and get things off their chests? Where did you learn your communication skills? Should these techniques be taught to all high school students?
Are there communication skills you would like to share with the audience? Please call in and be a part of this conversation. The phone number is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion. We'd really like to hear from you.
So, Raymond, do you feel like you've gained any knowledge out of being a peer counselor already? I know the school year has just begun.
Absolutely. Just the act of being peer counseling and talking to, you know, people that are experienced with it. And, you know, our teacher, David, you know, he's now the only peer counselor there, and he's very busy all the time.
Only counselor.
Only counselor, thank you. Yeah, basically. But he has a lot of stuff on his chest. But his act of being there has shown me a lot. And I've learned a lot from that. And I think I'm going to keep learning a lot. And I always love the idea that you're always going to learn. You're always going to gain knowledge. And I try to learn as much as I can from the little things. And peer counseling for me so far, it seems like years, but it's only been like a couple months. I'm just like, wow, Jesus.
Yeah, definitely. Once you get involved, you really get into it. And it's a really cool program to be a part of. I feel like I've been doing it for more than just 2 years, but it's a really awesome thing to do.
Yeah, I can definitely say the same. When I first started, it was, it was sort of fun, just something to do. But now it's really become, a whole part of my life. When I introduce myself, I've caught myself once or twice saying, oh yeah, blah, 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 I'm Rowan. I'm a senior at Laytonville High School, and I'm a peer counselor and all these things. And it really makes people think, oh, hey, that person's doing something good and they're helping out their community. And it's great, and it feels great.
Yeah, this being my third year, even now, doing it again, I'm learning more than I did before. I can't wait to get out there and actually get my buddy and learn more from them. You can always learn from the children themselves as well.
All right, so the show ends at 4, and call in at 456-9991. So, Kelsey, you were talking about how you guys presented to the middle schoolers. What are some of those presentations that you guys did?
We mostly just did them off of bullying, because the teachers were coming to us and saying, this is a really big problem at our school, and we need help abolishing it. And so we came in there and did a few presentations, and we got positive feedback on it. They said that their children, or parents were saying that their children were having better times in school, and the teachers were saying that the classroom seemed to improve, and it just overall seemed to work. Sometimes you don't need a teacher or a parent telling you that that's bad. You need another student who's only a little bit older, maybe the same age, to help you out.
Yep, I agree.
Absolutely.
All right, caller, you are on the air.
Earlier in the show, you were asking if there had been peer counseling when the audience attended. And for myself, I attended, in the 1960s, the late 60s, and so there wasn't. But then later, I had the opportunity to work with kids in the Ukiah School District, and they had peer counseling.
Wow.
It was really a good thing, and I didn't have any idea how much of a good thing it was until many years later. I was driving across a bridge here in the Forks, and one girl that I had known in high school waved me down and stopped and told me that it was pivotal in her life, because, if you have nowhere to talk about, if you're in danger or many things, it's so often you can do it amongst yourself and have strength in, multiple voices. So I'm all for it. Yay, guys, keep going. Good work. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Well, that was nice. You're a very nice caller, just saying.
Yeah, I know that a couple of my friends that have graduated that were peer counselors told me that they really enjoyed being peer counselors. And I know that one friend in particular, he graduated and he said, being a peer counselor was great. It wasn't something that I'd entirely expected to do with my senior year, but, we both started at the same time, so he pretty much patted me on the back and said, thanks for helping me get into this, and I'm glad that we did this together. It was a great experience, and he told me that he really felt that it would impact the rest of his life positively, as I feel that it will impact mine.
So again, this show ends at 4. Call now at 456-9991.
And we'd be really interested in what you have to say.
Yeah, any input at all from the community of listeners would be wonderful.
Yeah, going back to a little bit of what the lady was saying with meeting her friend on the bridge, sometimes you can't fix everything yourself, and you need somebody else to be there. That's very important. And like being peer counselors, we're there for our peers, obviously.
Yeah, it's kind of the goal of peer counseling.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's meant for somebody who doesn't necessarily have a whole bunch of friends or who just needs somebody else.
All right, caller, you are on the air.
Hi, I just want to say I really appreciate the clarity you all have shown talking about what you've been learning and how you're teaching it and helping younger students with it. And I just have a comment that it's such critical work for communities to change for the better on the whole. Someone said, you know, that every student should be getting a lot of the trainings, especially the, you know, the gender-specific stuff. And every student should, so that we can grow into a society that can communicate and cooperate. I guess I do have a question regarding that. I see that it seems very difficult for people who haven't learned those things early to change later in life for a lot of us. And I'm wondering if any of you have had experiences with your parents or other adults where you think that they're very interested in learning from you about what you're learning. So I'll listen to you on the air. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm kind of biased in this situation because my mother is a school psychologist and works with the systems, and she goes through trainings like this almost monthly. So I guess, yeah, I have a lot of adults in my life that are really interested in what I have to say and what I'm learning and learning from me, and that's kind of a really awesome experience.
Yeah, I know that my parents have really been interested in what I've learned at the retreats. I've been asked both times that I've come back from the retreat, oh, what did you learn? What happened there? Who did you talk to? Who were the people that presented? And they really were interested in the information that I'd been given. They really wanted to know what was being taught to me that I would then later go and help teach to other students. And it really actually made me want to learn more, having adults that have influenced my life so much be so interested in something that I've learned or something that I've done helped me want to go out and learn more and really want to do it again.
Absolutely. And, if they can learn from our experiences and if we can tell them how our day went and what we learned from peer counseling, and then they took that into account and actually used that within life lessons, we're teaching people how to fish instead of giving them fish.
Exactly.
And so, the more you spread that, and especially to our parents that influence us so much, it will just have the ripple effect, and it'll just hopefully spread through. And I think I definitely encourage the spread of ideas and psychological views.
There'll definitely always be people who don't agree with what we're saying, but as long as we can put it out there and enough people understand and enough people care, then it will change eventually. And that's what we're really here for, I think.
Absolutely. And I remember reading this one short story, and it was just about this little kid, and it was somewhere in Europe, and he was feeding the stray dog his lunch, and his dog was starving, and this old man came up to him, and he's like, why are you feeding this dog? There's thousands of starving dogs out here, and you're just wasting your food. And the kid just responded to him very innocently, just, I want to help out the dog. And he's like, but there's thousands. You're starting something, we'll finish. And, what's the difference? And he's all like, well, this might not help all the dogs, but this is going to help this one. And I believe in peer counseling, that's a huge thing. We will get our views out there, and I hope people will take this in. But if there's someone, just one person, that actually listens to this and changes their view about one thing that we've said, I believe I've done my job for the day.
I can definitely say the same. That's something that I've always believed, is that you might not be able to end all the world's problems or do something so massive, but even taking that first step in the right direction, even walking up to that person and asking them how their day is, or opening up conversation and being nice, even the simple things, the little things like that, they really end up changing society as a whole.
Yeah, and not just necessarily from just me, but I feel like our entire class as peer counseling definitely has a huge impact on our school as a whole. We group together and kind of band together to do so many different things. And that's why we have this thing called the Peer Council, and it kind of, because our group is so spread out through the entire day, we have a small handful of kids in every period in our peer counseling center. And so we have the peer council to kind of group us all together and plan out our functions and stuff. And it really just, we band together on a lot of different projects.
Absolutely. And just taking peer counseling as a whole and comparing it to, you know, United States as it is, just the act of opening something peer counseling, it means we're doing something.
Well, we have a lot of nationalism for peer counseling.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's, you know, the right step as we're taking. And so just having this idea that we can help people and help students in need is fantastic.
Yeah, I know that I was talking to someone one time, and they suggested a sort of peer counseling for adults, as odd as it might sound.
No.
And it is real. I think that that would really be interesting. It goes from being students helping students and helping younger students to adults helping adults. And yes, there are counselors that are out there available to help, but a lot of people I know that I have at least one or two uncles and stuff that have said, oh, well, I would go to someone else about this problem, but it's not worth the time.
Yeah.
And having someone, like a group of peer counselors that were adults, that were willing to be there at any time, free of charge, to talk to people and to help people out with their lives, could help out society as a whole. It could help everyone have a better life and have a better day and really feel good about themselves.
We had a presenter at our school not that long ago, I think just last week sometime, and he was saying that the problem with society and even high schools in general is that people just don't care. Not everybody cares to just go up to people and ask them how they are or introduce themselves or to somebody that they've never really talked to before, and it kind of creates a divide among people. And I could really respect what he was saying, because it's true. Not that many people do care.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's also this third party that would love to, you know, say, hi, and how are you doing, but they just don't have the voice. And so if a peer counselor, or just anyone that, you know, says, how are you doing, and just went up to this person and said, you know, hey, you have a voice, you know, you're a really nice person, and they'd just be like, oh, I really want to help people, but I just don't know how. And like you were saying, Rowan, you know, if peer counselors just start helping out, and if we grew up to be the people that we, you know, ideal ourselves to be, and nice and open, we could just communicate with our friends or buddies or anyone and just say, you have a voice. You can, you know, say hi to this person. You don't have to just awkwardly walk away. But then, as you're Kelsey saying also, there's definitely people out there that don't care. I mean, which is why we're here, basically. And there has to be good with bad, I suppose.
We're here to show that we are people that care. We are peers in this community, in this society, that are here to do our best to help out others that we can help, and to, you know, really make available the knowledge that we have in hope of helping others out. Alright, and that's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Rowan, and
Raymond,
Kelsey,
and Irene.
Laytonville Healthy Starts Coalition Drug-Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's Youth Speaks Out. Our Environmental Prevention Strategies in the Community, also known as EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we are working towards reducing youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Laytonville community. If you are interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089 or email Jema at jemashields@pacific.net.
Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 954-90, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of the show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. You Speaks Out is aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 4 weeks. That is December 1st at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in December.